What's up, heretics? Welcome to the Religion of Speed podcast, automotive news, entertainment, and quote-unquote educational podcast about grassroots racing and car culture, where we give you ways to get out and have fun with cars. I'm Matt Overstreet.
And I am Chris Huffman.
I have more energy tonight because it's a Friday night and not a Saturday where I've been sitting around being lazy all day.
Yeah, you worked all day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Somehow that gives me more energy.
It's weird, but until you hit the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I've had a Smirnoff red, white, and berry seltzer, so I have extra energy now.
There we go. And it sets the time, because it's a Smirnoff seltzer, there will be a crash.
Right. That's very true. Oh, man. So we got some interesting news this week. I know last week we didn't really touch any news, and there's still not a ton of stuff that I feel, you know, is good for this show, but there's a few things that are very interesting. One that you just noticed before we recorded that will... I'm not gonna get to that yet. I'm gonna make you hold off on that.
Okay.
But first off, let's get into the fact that new car prices and used car prices are still crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're probably gonna be that way for a while still, because unfortunately the chip shortage is actually getting worse, not better.
Wow, are they attributing this to the Delta variant, or just failure to keep up and the kind of pent-up demand that's racked up in the face of the current chip shortage?
Mostly the second part there.
Okay.
It's just things still haven't ramped up as much as they thought. The fact is, they were really expecting car sales to slow down, and they never did during COVID.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, people were still buying cars.
I was blown away by the fact that people were just at home buying used cars.
Right.
I thought everyone would not have money, but people instead just spent their savings because they were bored.
Yeah, pretty much.
On Craigslist.
Well, and all those stimulus packages.
Yeah.
You know, anybody that was already well off for money, that's just a bonus to go buy a car now.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can buy parts. It's like, I can finally buy that project car I wanted because I'll have the time.
Or I can go buy that brand new car. You know, like a lot of pedestrian stuff, you know?
You know, when I went by the Subaru dealership to pick up some parts yesterday, I was blown away by how sparse their inventory is.
I guess I haven't even really paid attention.
I used to work at that Subaru dealer, and it used to be stacked all the way to the end, while with the Ascents, then Outbacks, Legacies. The Outbacks were double stacked,
yeah.
Sometimes triple parked. Obviously, Crosstrex, which those were always hard to get a hold of even before COVID, and Imprezas. And everything was pretty full.
Yeah.
I went there yesterday, and it was employee parking. It was every new car had a sold tag on it.
Really?
Yeah, and I was seeing used stuff that the used car managers would have turned away, wouldn't have even wasted their time on. And
that was out on the lot?
And they were out on the lot.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're really struggling to keep inventory. Which, that dealership always sold a lot of cars, and during COVID, when the showroom had to close because sales wasn't essential,
right.
That's when I really started to see a surplus of Outbacks, because they always stocked more Outbacks than they needed.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to sell them eventually here in Colorado.
Yeah, yeah, they're really popular, but I feel like they're not as popular as they used to be.
Yeah, everybody kind of migrated to Crosstrex.
Yeah, yeah, the crossover kind of took its market.
Yeah.
And they also made the new Outback too technologically advanced.
For all the old people?
Right, because yeah. Old people are the primary people buying it.
It's true.
And it's like, let's replace all the buttons with a touchscreen. Old people love that.
Yeah. Does that mean I'm old? Because I hate touchscreens.
I mean, a good touchscreen is fine. But most auto companies don't have good touchscreens.
No, and also some things just need knobs.
Yeah, I prefer a volume knob,
yeah.
A switch for my heated seat,
yeah.
And a button for my traction control.
I want my HVAC to be three knobs.
Well, one for the left-right, one for the temperature, and one for the fan intensity?
Yeah, where do you want it? Uh-huh. How fast do you want it? How hot do you want it?
Okay.
Three knobs.
That is nice. I only got two knobs on mine.
Yeah.
But having the knob is better.
Right.
Because you feel it when you're driving. You don't have to look down.
Exactly.
A touchscreen takes your focus off the road.
Yeah, and I'm sure at some point they're going to have some sort of like haptic feedback touchscreen. They'll take care of that.
Right.
But the closest I've seen to that is the Lexus with the mouse pad.
Lexus has a mouse pad?
Yeah, have you ever used those?
No.
So they had, the first generation had like pretty much a static mouse. So
okay.
It had buttons on the side where your thumb go.
Yeah.
And then a little thing for your fingers that you can move around. And it was haptic feedback. So depending on what screen you were on, it would either move smoothly or it would like select a button. So if there were like four options on the bottom of the screen,
yeah,
if you moused down to that, it would kind of click into place on one and then click over and click over.
And you could feel it.
Yeah. And it took some getting used to,
yeah,
but you could do that just like while driving and not ever look at the screen.
See, that's smart. It sounds like that's what BMW was trying to do with their old iDrive system.
Yeah, with the iDrive. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, everybody complained about the iDrive.
Let's control everything with a knob.
Yeah. And put things in like menus and sub menus and sub sub menus.
I hated the sub menu thing.
Yeah.
You're like, where is this piece? I don't remember. You have to memorize that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there are actually a few Subaru features like that. When I was selling Subarus, it's like, how do you get the Forester Premium or the Forester Limited to scan your face? Because they've got those...
Why would you want it to scan your face?
Well, you know, everybody wants to remember you now.
Right.
Privacy is a thing of the past.
So that way a Japanese company can have a record of your face?
They linked it up to your seat preferences and your climate control preferences.
Okay.
So that if you know, husband and wife shared the same car, when your spouse gets in the car, it scans your face, automatically uploads all of her preferences.
I mean, it's a good idea, but they used to do that too with two buttons. You get in the car, you press button one for driver one, or button two for driver two.
And the best part is those buttons are still there.
Right? And they still work.
They still work. They didn't take those buttons away. They just added the ability to remember your face.
Oh my God. See, it's officially getting to the point now where I know I'm getting old, and I know I'm like, there's just too much technology in cars.
I mean, until they can drive themselves, we don't really need that level of technology.
It's true, yeah.
And I'd love a car that could drive me to work. That would be really, really cool.
We're reaching actually a very dangerous point in cars where they can kind of sort of drive themselves.
Yeah.
And that's more dangerous because it's like we either need full control.
Yes.
Or it needs a self-drive because people are lazy.
Right.
And they will just be like, well, I don't know. The car seems to got it.
Right.
You know?
Until it doesn't got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was funny. I did that in a Subaru Legacy on my way to Fort Collins.
Yeah.
When I was swapping it out. And it was fine. It worked fine, mm-hmm, until you hit an off-ramp and the line that it is using to stay within the lane disappears. And then all of a sudden you're just drifting off this off-ramp.
You gotta make sure you're there to grab it.
Yeah, it's because you're right. It's enough now to where you could take your hand off the wheel and think you're fine.
Yeah.
Until the system hiccups. And a lot of times when these systems experience a failure, their default, you know, for safety is to just turn everything off.
Yeah.
And if it turns everything off and you don't notice the beep, then all of a sudden your self-driving car is a you-driving car and you're looking at your phone.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if something like that happens and you are distracted enough, it'll take you so much time to react to that and, like, realize what is happening that by that time you're screwed.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you've ever noticed, but, like, even just, like, looking down at your speedometer and looking back up, like, your focus has to change so much.
Yeah.
From a distant to a forward one.
Yeah.
Like, there is a time transition between just that.
Yeah, I had to use my Brembos today because I was looking on an off-ramp to check merging traffic, and then the person in front of me slammed on the brakes.
Yeah.
On my way here today.
Right.
And I had to get hard on the brakes and nosedive to keep from hitting the car in front of me.
Now imagine if your brain was in Facebook scrolling mode,
yeah,
and not even in car driving mode.
Oh yeah, I would have splattered all over the back of that Jetta.
Right.
<Yeah.
laughs> So yeah, I did see that. Kind of reminds me, I did see a thing, I think friend of the show Chris Heil posted it. It was a system that actually installs on cars. It's a self-driving system that you install on your car through, I think, the OBD2 port.
This is an aftermarket system?
An aftermarket self-driving system.
Ooh, that sounds sketchy.
It does sound sketchy. The video they posted, of course, it was working fine.
Right, yeah. Because it always works fine in the advertisements.
Right. But it got me thinking. I'm like, yeah, I guess it, like, electric power steering.
Yeah.
ABS. Like, electric throttle. It has all the things it needs for inputs and outputs, you know?
Yeah.
So, I gotta look that up, and I might do something with that, a video or an article, because I'm more curious about that than anything. Like,
it'd be interesting if we could find an automatic car, if someone could donate one to our cause.
Yeah.
To test this out.
Because
I am very curious about how third-party software can handle this, because the primary software can't really handle it.
Right.
So the third-party solution that's kind of a one-size-fits-all for various brands, that sounds sketchy.
Sketchy as fuck.
I don't know if I want to trust it.
I don't know if I ever could.
Yeah, which, you know, maybe it's better. I don't know.
Maybe.
Or at least for specific models.
You know, the thing is with, like, a technology thing like that, a software thing like that, you know, somebody can kind of come out of nowhere and make things better than anybody else.
Yeah.
But
for very specific applications.
And I just highly doubt it.
Yeah. Which, I mean, like, maybe it is better for one model or the models they were able to test it in. But
right.
I don't know how widely they're going to market it.
Yeah. If Elon Musk's fucking self-driving shit ain't working right yet, then...
Right. And he's considered the pinnacle of self-driving technology.
Right.
You know, Ford is saying that the 2022 Lightning is going to be a hands-off self-driving car, which, to my knowledge, there's nothing on the road right now that is actually hands-off.
No.
I don't know if they'll be able to pull that off on the first generation.
I'll be curious to see it happen.
Yeah.
Because I keep hearing, like, experts in the field go, no, we're not there yet. Then I hear car companies go, yeah, we're doing it right now.
Right.
And I'm like, which one is it?
Experts in the field be like, well, how are you determining this? The yellow lines? Because the yellow lines aren't good enough.
Right. But, you know, we're America.
Right.
We don't listen to experts in anything.
We leap forward in giant fireballs of progress.
Yes, exactly. So, man, I don't know, maybe it will be a giant fireball. Or maybe we'll be self-driving in like 5 years and, hey.
It'd be cool.
It would be cool.
What worries me, and this is, you know, the conspiracy theorist in me, is that as these technologies proliferate, as they become more and more common, because, you know, they're kind of doing the self-driving thing piece by piece now.
Right.
They had the radar-guided cruise control, and they had the steering assist, and they had the braking assist.
Yep.
And when you combine all those, you get a pretty good approximation of what self-driving could feel like. But as they bring these into existence, and as they become more commonplace, we could see regulations that demand them.
True.
And that
could, like, backup cameras and shit like that.
Exactly. And if we have to have these technologies, then that could regulate the manual transmission out of existence.
Oh, yeah. No, that 100%. That's part of the reason the manual transmission's going away, because it's hard to even do, like, radar cruise control and shit with them.
Yeah, because they can't change gear. All they can do is manipulate the throttle.
Yeah.
Which, you know, my BRZ has an automatic cruise control function where I can switch it on and I can flip one switch to accelerate, flip another to decelerate. But it's limited by what gear I'm in.
Right.
And, you know, I personally like that. I don't want my car to be able to do too much without me.
Also, I guess that would, the next thing they're probably going to implement is emergency braking.
Yeah.
I would guess. And you can't do that with a manual either, because it'll stall out the car. RPMs get too low, stalls out the car, then you lose control.
They'd have to input a manual clutch or an automatic clutch actuator.
Right. Which is possible.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they've been doing, like, automatically shifted manual transmissions for years. Look at the smart car. The smart car is a manual transmission with the electric actuator where the slave cylinder normally goes.
I remember you guys telling me about that, how it's almost impossible to fix that.
Yeah, it was a bitch of a system to figure out. Because that was a weird one, because it was setting weird-ass codes, and all it was is it needed a clutch.
But, oh, that's it.
But just nothing in the service data or the way that code is described would ever lead you to that.
But if you had a real manual, it'd be like, it's slipping, that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But the fact that this one's automated, the system doesn't know what to do when the clutch disc wears out.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious that they didn't think about that one.
No. It's going to wear out, especially more than, like, a regular manual, because it really slips the clutch a lot to make it smooth as it can.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's like AB or traction and stability control and even cruise control wearing out your rear brake pads.
Yeah.
Prematurely.
Right. Or, like, the Fiesta wearing out the front brake pads because of that stupid... Well, not stupid, but the torque vectoring, like, thing it does.
Oh, yeah, so it's automatically actuating those brakes.
Yeah.
So your pads are wearing out on one side faster than the other.
Yeah, whatever your inside corner is, it's just dragging that brake. And it does help you rotate.
Right.
But, yeah, it wears through front brake pads pretty fast if you're doing some performance driving.
Yeah, my buddy, he has had to replace the rear brake pads on his BRZ more often than the fronts because of his stability control.
Huh. Well, I mean, if he would stop, you know, being a hooligan so many times.
He bought a BRZ.
Good point. But to loop back around to the whole chip shortage thing, part of the reason, I guess, that the shortage is happening in new cars is partially because people need their iPhones and Xboxes.
I mean, a lot of them aren't working still.
But, true.
you need your Xbox more than your car.
If you're not working. Yeah. But I guess just the way it works is there's only so many manufacturers of silicone chips in this world. Right. Because the technology to make it is, like, very expensive. You know, there's only a certain amount of places that can do these things.
You need clean rooms and everything like that.
Right. So whether you're buying a Ford pickup truck or an Xbox or a cell phone or a dishwasher these days, like, it's a good chance those chips are made by one of, like, 10 companies.
So that bottleneck affects everything.
Right.
And the fact that that many markets are affected by it makes it a more intense bottleneck.
Right. And I guess the way it kind of works is manufacturers of whatever they're making get, like, allocated a run. Like, hey, I need, let's just say, 10,000 chips for this.
Right.
You know, and then after that, another company comes in, like, I need 100,000 chips of this. I need 10,000 of this. And they kind of work on this backlog. So now they have this backlog. They're booked up. And now suddenly all these auto manufacturers are like, hey, we need chips too.
Right.
Like, well, we can't. We have nowhere to put you.
Yeah. You have your standing order for 10,000 chips. Like, you can put more in, but you're at the back of the line.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of, like, the manufacturing isn't back. It's back. It's just the order it's in. Ford got, you know, Ford or Honda or whoever got pushed to the back of the line.
Man, that's it's a shame that these prices are going to stay up, because I've had to stay off Craigslist just because I don't want to be tempted.
Right.
Because anything I buy is going to lose value at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you, the listeners at home, not you, Chris, want to see an example of, like, how high prices are right now, on the Religious Speed YouTube channel, I just finally did another Just Browsing video looking at 90s cars on Craigslist.
Yeah.
And, yeah, prices are way up.
Yeah.
When a Cavalier Z24, which it was a V6 manual.
And that was in great
shape. It was in great shape.
Yeah.
But he still wanted, like, $6,000 for it.
Right, and he'll get it.
He'll get it for sure.
Yeah.
But it's just insane. Like,
and it's a shame because, you know, even the stuff that's appreciating rapidly, like, even if you were to go out and find that, like, that S14 you're looking at.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be worth less once this chip shortage kind of rectifies itself.
Right.
You know, it's going to lose less value than if you bought, like, an Accord or something like
that. Yeah, just like a pedestrian car that people are just buying because they need a car.
Right, right. But just those prices affect everything.
Right.
Including the enthusiast market. And I'm going to be happy when this is over and I can buy cheap cars again.
Yeah, so am I. Hopefully by that time I'll have a place to put them.
I had a friend of the family call me, you know, asking for advice on a car they were looking at buying.
Yeah.
And it was a 2015 Hyundai Genesis.
Okay.
30,000 miles on it with a rebuilt title.
Ugh.
They were asking $20,000 for it. I said, don't buy that car.
Yeah, do not buy that car.
But the crazy thing is this was at a dealership lot. Dealership lots wouldn't even pull a rebuilt title car from their used section.
For the longest time, they just send those things to auction.
Right. Anything without a clean title.
Yeah.
And now, they are so desperate, they're pulling cars that were rebuilt from salvaged titles and putting them on their lot.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That really speaks to the desperation.
So, I guess, you know, if you're in the market to sell right now, you're holding all the cards.
Right.
You know, or even maybe if you're not in the market to sell right now, but you're thinking maybe in the future you will be.
Yeah.
Just sell now and hold on to the cash.
Yeah, because you'll be able to buy a lot more car for that cash once this clears up. I don't know when that will be.
Yeah, that is the problem.
How much the dollar will be worth when that happens.
Good point. You know, that's all like trying to time the stock market, you know. Anybody that says they can time the stock market is lying to you. So.
Yeah, unless they're a billionaire.
Right, and then they can manipulate. That's not timing it, it's manipulating it.
It's like, they know something because they're a billionaire.
Right.
any regular Joe you're working with, they're like, oh, I can predict the stock market. It's like, why are you working at Walmart?
Right. Why are you here, bud?
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to take a break, give a message from a sponsor real quick, and we'll be back to talk about, of all things, two cars. I never thought I'd see the nameplate come back on.
I'm really happy to see, honestly, both of them, but one of them I'm really excited about.
Right? All right, we'll be back in a minute.
Thanks.
Welcome back, Heretics. So, before the break there, we talked about there's two nameplates coming back, two of which I'd never expected to hear again, and one of which I'm super excited about, the other one I'm kind of Yeah. And the one I'm kind of meh about is, ironically, the Lamborghini Countach.
Okay, that thing looks cool.
It is amazing look. I love that way that car looks. I love
how they parked an old Countach in the background.
Right.
That is a great press photo.
Just to kind of, yeah, it is. Just kind of show you the similarities. Yeah. And, like, it's definitely, it takes liberties with the design. It's not, like, you know, a one-to-one copy or nothing.
Yeah.
But it definitely, like, for somebody who grew up with the Countach poster.
Right.
You know.
The
like,
iconic Countach poster.
Yeah, this has a feel of, like, Countach mixed with Diablo, mixed with Murcielago. Like,
yeah,
it kind of has it all.
I see a little Gallardo in there, too.
Right?
Yeah, and those headlights, they throw you back to the original Countach.
Yeah.
While the body lines look very much modern.
But, like, the front little grill area here is very square and flat and wedgy, you know?
The wheels look phenomenal.
Yes. Yeah, I was just, like, listen, I'm not all that excited about this car because I'll never see one.
Yeah.
I'll never own one. I'll never sit in one. So, there's only so much to be excited about there.
Maybe one day we can get one as a press car.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Lamborghini, if you're listening.
Yeah.
We have a very, what's what I'm looking for? Our viewer base really likes us. Oh. They're a dedicated viewer base.
Okay, yep, we do.
So, not that any of them are going to buy Lamborghinis, but...
But they'd all be interested.
They'd all be very interested.
Yeah, and we can make you look better than Ferrari.
Yes.
Because they won't give us a press card. Because
that's not that hard to do.
Wow, the back end, too.
Yeah, so let's get a good back end shot with those taillights. Those taillights are really cool, too.
I like that. So is this a standalone model, or is this going to be based off of an existing Lamborghini?
As I was saying before the show, I have zero idea. I looked at the pictures, saw that was cool, and I'm going to put it on the podcast. I think according to this article, it is a...
V12 with a 48-volt electric motor.
Yep, there you go. It's supposed to make like 780 horsepower or something like that from the little bit that I've seen.
See, I like when car companies take these classic nameplates and apply them to these modern electric vehicles or even the hybrids.
Right.
And it seems to make a lot of people angry, the purists. It seems to make a lot of people angry. But it really is. The electric cars are, you know, the way of the future.
Right.
It's cool to see these classic names being applied to it because it helps make them more relevant to people who wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, because... An electric Lamborghini, okay, cool. You know, that's a concept that a lot of people are doing.
Right.
An electric Countach, that's divisive, it takes risks. That's a good way to bring it forward. I love that fighter jet style ignition button.
Right, it is so good.
That is so cool.
I love all these Audi buttons in here.
Yeah, because you know they'll work.
That is clearly an Audi, like, I want to call it the iDrive button, but that's the BMW one. I don't know what the MMI, is that what they call that one?
But it was what Audi came out with when BMW came out with iDrive. BMW had a bad idea, let's copy it.
Right? It's like the same exact thing. So, okay, this is a limited production thing.
Okay.
112 of them are being made. So this isn't the replacement for the Aventador or anything like that.
Oh, so they're calling it an LP112 as a reference production numbers.
Okay. Huh. Like I said, it's nice to have, like, I might actually change my background to this initial press photo, because that is a damn good press photo.
I mean, that's a good poster.
Right.
Because you still, like, I think the Countach was actually in that exact same orientation in the classic.
Yeah, probably.
And it's just sitting there in the background, and then here we've got the modern one in the foreground.
How do the doors open on this one?
Does it have the Lamborghini doors? Do we have an image?
Yeah, does it actually, the doors open dumb. Oh yeah, the doors open dumb. Okay. Thank God.
With the 12-cylinder Lamborghinis, they have to.
Right.
If you get a 10-cylinder Lamborghini, you're just buying the entry level. You're only spending a measly $250,000. Your doors can open like normal.
Yeah, you're buying an R8. Yeah.
Which is hilarious because you're going to have a lot better user experience with those normal doors.
Right.
You're not going to have to get on your knees or your belly to slide out from underneath the car every time you get in and out.
And to back this thing up, at least now we have, like, backup cameras, so you don't have to do the Countach thing where you sit on the door sill with the door open and, like, sideways do the clutch with your other foot. And,
oh, because, yeah, that was when Lamborghinis were still manual.
Yeah, they're all manual. You couldn't see out the back of them at all. The mirrors were completely useless. So I don't know if you've ever seen it. People will actually, they open the door.
Yeah.
They pop out and sit on the giant door sill. Yeah. And then, like, just use their feet in a really dumb way to, like, back up while looking over top of the car.
Yeah, that sounds nerve-wracking. Right? Especially because most Lamborghini owners probably don't back up their own cars.
So, oh, God, can you imagine doing it like a valet?
Yeah, valet just sweating bullets sitting right on the door sill. Yeah. That's,
I didn't notice this. Look at the rear wheel arch. It's even kind of squared off like the old Countach was.
That is cool. And look at those. It's kind of like a retro phone dial wheel.
Yeah. That's, yeah, they're really, they're going for the phone dials, but I think that'd look better all silver, honestly. Kind of like the classic ones were. Like,
I'm sure like that this will do silver. It as an option for you.
Probably. Lamborghini, that's one thing I like about Lamborghini. They're like, you want what? Sure. Yeah. Like, we don't give a shit. You spending money? Cool.
If I could drive a Valentino Balboni Gallardo, I would be so happy.
Yeah.
Rear-wheel drive, manual transmission from the era where all of them were all-wheel drive and automatic. That would be a really neat Lamborghini to drive.
I always wanted to drive that that smaller all carbon fiber one they made. Richard Hammond drove it on Top Gear.
Yeah, where the seat was actually part of the carbon fiber tub.
Yeah, the dash was part of the carbon
fiber. The Sesto Elemento.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
That thing is just, it's just nuts.
That's the most Lamborghini that's come out in our lifetime.
Right? Like, yeah, I'm never going to own a Lamborghini. Well, most likely, unless I win the lottery or something. But, like, they've always been the poster car. You know, they're always just, that's like Rich Hammond says, they just do what's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they say, I think Jeremy Clarkson made a joke that they should all come with an option for machine guns.
Yeah.
Just because it's that absurd.
Right. And I mean, you know, and you always have the chance with Lamborghini of it catching on fire.
That's true.
And that always just, it adds to the excitement.
Yeah, the danger element, it really does. You know, right. If there's a chance you won't make it to McDonald's alive, that's going to be a better Big Mac.
Yes. You're going to feel accomplished on that trip.
Yeah.
You survived.
You survived your grocery trip.
But, yeah, so if you want to go check out the pictures, I will have a link in the description of the podcast notes there. But I'm sure by the time this podcast goes up, the internet's going to be flooded with these pictures anyways, and you probably couldn't avoid it even if you wanted to.
It's probably going to be on the cover of all the car mags.
Right.
On the page of Jalopnik.
Yeah,
I mean, it deserves it, though. It's that breathtaking.
This is on the front page of The Verge. The Verge is like a tech thing. They do, like, you know, computers and phones and shit.
I guess it is electrically powered.
Right.
So, technically qualifies.
It kind of qualifies. They're like, hey, look, electric car. Not really.
It's an iPhone. You can drive.
I'm kind of curious, like, I don't think it says in this article, like, 48-volt electric is not that powerful. I can't imagine adding more than, like, maybe 100 horsepower.
It's probably just there to give you a better 0-60, I would imagine.
Yeah, it will give some decent low-end torque, which the V12s aren't really known for, because they're pretty small. Well, they have been in the past pretty small displays with V12s. So.
That's why you get to hear them with that breathtaking exhaust and a Lamborghini V12 winding out.
That is one thing I'll be sad to lose when, you know, supercars all become electric is...
Yeah.
Just that crazy racket they make, but
they are really loud. You know what? They're gonna put speakers in the exhaust.
Yeah, I know. But
it's not the same.
It's not the same.
But it's gonna be hilarious to see people who, you know, like, well, what do you want to sound like today?
Right? You want to sound like the Jetsons?
Yeah,
because that's all I would ever do.
People next to like, what is that?
Or you could sound like a orchestra of angels when backing up your car.
That weirded me out so much, man.
We were just looking around.
Sitting outside the restaurant, like, why is there a chorus of angels singing in this parking lot? And we realized it was a Lexus hybrid in reverse.
Yeah. Instead of doing a beep noise, it is literally a chorus of angels.
Yeah. It's a chorus of angels just singing the same note. Unvarying.
Like, when I was a kid, when we were in music class in, like, middle school, we used to play around with keyboards.
Yeah.
And you could change, you know, what sound the keys made and stuff, and there was a chorus one. And we'd always do that and, like, hit a bunch of keys, like, oh!
Yeah.
It's exactly that.
Yeah, it's perfect harmony. Yeah, which is hilarious, because that person just selected that. That was a setting.
I would assume so. I've never heard another one do that.
I heard it again, because now I started listening for it. I heard it at work one day at Nissan echoing in the shop, and I'm like, what is that?
Oh, that is, that's a weird one. But moving on from the car we can never afford to a car we might be able to afford, which makes it way more exciting, the Acura Integra is coming back.
That is really exciting. Especially with the Civic Type R in the mix.
Right.
You know, because the Integra was always the more hardcore version when we didn't have the Civic in the States.
Right, but so, we did get the Integra for a brief period there.
Yeah, those Integra Type Rs are going for $70,000.
Right? Ridiculous. Yeah. But, this has kind of came out of nowhere. I've been seeing, like when somebody, or when I saw the headline, that, oh, Acura Integra is coming back. I was like, oh, this is some bullshit and stuff.
Right.
Because they've been saying the Integra is going to come back for 10 years now.
Wow. That makes me feel old. It has been 10 years since they got rid of that, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, wow. We are old, right? It's fine, though. But, so I just kind of expected this to be another one of those, like, somebody made a render, you know?
Oh, yeah, like another fan project?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Because that's one thing I hate about automotive quote-unquote journalism, is somebody will make a render, and that's a news story now because they're starved for news stories.
Yeah.
Look at what this render is that somebody made. This is a possibility of what the Integra could... No, it's not.
And once in a blue moon, the render becomes reality, but right. It varies, like the Trans Am kit on the Camaros.
Oh, yeah. Somebody ended up making that.
Yeah, it started out as a fan render, and then they actually built it, and it looks amazing.
Right.
I've heard that they have problems with the T-top staying in, though.
I'm not surprised. T-tops?
Yeah.
Problems? I don't believe it.
and an aftermarket T-top?
It should be fine.
I hope that the production model has that Integra molded into the bumper like that, because that's pretty cool.
That I love that. Like, you don't see that integration of badging anymore.
Yeah, like, and it was always on the rear.
Yeah.
Never under the headlight like that.
Right.
But I guess Gen Zers love their face tattoos.
This is true. This is just, like, one step away from a teardrop tattoo.
Yeah.
But, there's not much for pictures of this. We have a light bright thing that says Integra and a light bright outline of the car
with what appears
to be pop-ups somehow. That looks like a pop-up.
Yeah, which even the iconic Integra didn't have pop-ups.
And this photo doesn't have pop-ups. that would be a weird inclusion, but
maybe pop-ups and regular headlights.
I mean, sure. I'd love to see the return of pop-up headlights.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen because they will never pass crash safety standards, pedestrian stuff.
Maybe they'll only work when you're parked.
It's a hard parking mode.
Really easy to bypass.
Yeah. According to Acura, so also this was literally, they announced the NSX Type S as like the send-off to the NSX because they're going to be ending NSX production here soon. So
that's
they made sad. Yeah, it is. But they're going to make the Type S, the super fast one, to send it off again.
Yeah.
And just at the end, they just threw this in. Just nobody knew this was coming.
Oh, and by the way, the Integra's coming back.
What? Yeah. The best way to do reveals. I wish people would do reveals that way more often.
And it's cool that they're calling it the Integra, because we had the RSX, and it was just an Integra.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they just didn't call it an Integra.
I think it's just because at the time, Acura was just, it was TLX, TSX,
they're RSX. Trying to do their luxury car thing.
Yeah, where everything was like that. But no, the Integra holds way more, recognition than RSX at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, anytime I see an RSX, I think, oh, that's just an Integra.
Yeah, it's just DC5?
Was that, so is it the DC2, was that the 90s, the early 90s bicycle?
Yeah, the quad headlight, that was the DC2 Integra.
Okay.
I think it was a DC5 for this one.
For the RSX. Okay.
So, we'll see if they actually continue on with their, like, chassis codes like that or not. But, yeah, we don't have anything except Acura says it will live up to the hype.
So, I think we can assume, without making an ass of me too much.
Right.
That this is going to have a K-Series power plant.
It's going to have the Type R engine.
Yeah, it's going to have the K20C1.
Yeah, for sure.
Which, to make this more desirable than a Type R, it needs to be more powerful.
Yes.
But we've also never had a Civic Type R in the U.S. sold alongside an Integra.
True.
So I'm interested to see how they're going to market this and where they're going to put this. Because Honda's kind of stepped on their own toes before like this. Like, that's, we lost the Prelude because we got the S2000.
Yeah.
You know, we lost the H22 because we got the K-Series.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'd really love to see is something really bonkers, like a J-Series in this.
Okay, okay.
That would be really cool, but I think it's probably safe to say that we'll probably see a tuned-up version of the Civic Type R motor in this thing. But how much more power? I don't know.
See, I think they're going to go the Honda route, and I think it's going to have the Type R engine. I'm guessing 15 more horsepower. Not a ton more, but where the current Civic Type R is a four-door hatchback, or a five-door, if you will.
Right.
This is going to be a coupe.
Okay.
It's going to be smaller, and it's going to be lighter. I think they're going to focus on the chassis more than the engine.
You think they'll do, like, the two-door kind of hatch thing, like they did with the DC2 in the 90s?
I think so.
That would be neat.
I think it'll be a two-door, like, fastback-style hatch.
That would be cool. So you're getting a lighter car.
Right.
With the same tune.
I think that's where I would go with it. Because the only thing I don't like about the Type R Civic it's a bit of a porker.
Yeah.
It comes with 19-inch wheels. It's way too much.
Yeah. And it's just massive.
It is.
Huge footprint on that thing. That would be cool. And with these, you know, light, bright body lines, it does look like the lines of a coupe.
Right.
I don't know how much we can infer from
it has a pop-up on this picture.
From a light, bright silhouette with pop-up headlights. But, that would be really cool. Because they did do a four-door Integra in the 90s.
They did. That's true. But the Integra was like... I feel like back then the Integra was a whole model line. You know, you get a base model four-door... You know, but I think at this point there's no reason to even offer that because you're going to buy a Civic anyways.
Right, you would, but you could also buy a Civic sedan at the same time. So
yeah, but I feel like the Japanese car market was booming so much back then.
It was true; they were stepping on each other's toes all over the place and didn't care.
Yeah, they were just like, I don't know, do you want like five different four-door models?
Yeah.
That are all about the same size.
Nissan literally had two different twin-turbo six-cylinder engines in production at the exact same time.
Right.
And they, you know, it wasn't like what they do now, where they make four engines for their 10 models.
Yeah.
It was, you know, oh, we have an inline six sequential turbo setup, and we have a V6 bi-turbo setup. Pick your poison.
Right.
We'll produce them both.
Well, to be fair, on the stepping on toes thing, in America, like, they sold a bunch of 300ZXs, of course, because that's the only thing we got.
Right.
In Japan, they didn't sell so many for those that generation Fairlady Z because the Skyline existed.
Which I can't blame them.
Right.
I mean, because you could, I don't know where the prices were specifically in that point in time, but I'm betting a GTST RB25 Skyline was cheaper.
Yeah, probably.
And you've got rear-wheel drive, you've got six cylinders, and you've got boost.
True.
For less money. And, you know, you can go back and forth on the V6 versus inline six debate, but I'm an inline six fanboy.
I do love being inline six. The flat plane crank just sounds so much better. It sounds so much smoother.
Yeah.
V6s never have flat plane cranks. They always have shared journals, so they don't sound as smooth. That's the main difference right there.
Yeah, but they don't feel as smooth either. You can feel it when you're on the throttle.
Yeah, but the V6 is way more compact.
That's true. You don't have to have that super long hood line.
Right.
That being said, I think the super long hood line makes for a great look.
That's very true.
I mean, the Supra is gorgeous for a reason.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't think we're going to see the four-door in this, though. I think the car companies are done stepping on their toes, though.
I hope that they do something cool with this.
Yeah.
Because I want to see more tuning, and I want to see just more interest, more development on this K20 C1, because it is the ultimate K-Series right now.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of out of the price range or the, you know, availability for most people, even though that crate motor's there.
Right.
You know, most people can't afford to just buy that and you know,
yeah, no.
Slap it in something. It's not like, oh, I'm going to go to the junkyard and find a wrecked TSX and pull the motor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not quite that easy.
Yeah.
So, man, that just kind of shocked. Didn't expect that new. That dropped today, too, by the way.
That is cool. You think they're going to make, you think they trickle down the all-wheel drive system from the TL?
Ooh, all-wheel drive Integra?
Yeah.
That, now, that might be the thing that separates it from the Civic.
Yeah.
If they make that all-wheel drive and make it more of a, God, what would that be even fighting at that point? Like,
it'd be a WRX killer.
I mean, it'd be an STI killer for sure.
Yeah, if you have STI power, you're right.
I mean, the Civic Type R is almost an STI killer right now. It's only front wheel drive.
And I wonder if they're going to do the trim levels of the Integra.
Yeah.
Are we going to have a base and a GSR and a Type R?
Right.
You know, even when we had the RSX, we had the Type S, which made about 35 more horsepower.
Did that actually make that much more horsepower?
I think the base model made about 170.
Oh, really?
And then the Type S was like 204 or something.
I didn't realize there was that big of a difference between those engines.
It was surprisingly big.
Yeah.
Which I think that they were very close. I'm not sure. I know it was the K28-2 that was in the Type S, and I'm not sure what the model designation, the engine designation for the base model RSX was.
Had it been just the cylinder head change on that.
So you think just like a more aggressive VTEC system?
Yeah, just probably bigger cams, honestly.
That's it?
That'd be my guess. Maybe the different head entirely. It's funny. My buddy Nate, he sent me a message. He was listening to the last podcast, and I guess we were talking about a lot about engine codes and chassis codes and that one, too.
Yeah.
And he was just super excited to hear a bunch of car nerds just talking in chassis codes. So, Nate, this one goes out to you, because this is a Honda Fest chassis code. Just, that's all. Like, if you don't know what we're talking about, I do apologize. Go brush up on your engine code and chassis codes for your Hondas, because that's just how we refer to those things.
That's because there's so many.
Right.
You know, it's like...
If you say... You know, oh, I have a 92 Integra.
Right. Like, is it a sedan? Is it a coupe? Is it a GSR?
Right.
Yeah. It's like, but if you say you've got a DC2 GSR, it's like, all right, I know you've got a B20C1.
Right.
180 horsepower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just makes things easier.
Or B18C1, excuse me.
Oh, yeah. Get it right.
Yeah. The B, it was the B18C1. B20 was the CRV motor.
So before we wrap up here, thinking of this Integra coming back, the fact we have a Civic Type R now, I want to know, in your opinion, over all the years, what is your favorite Honda / Acura?
Man, that's a tough call. You know, I'm really tempted to give it to the S2000.
Yeah.
Just because that engine was legendary, set world records. But it's not the only Honda engine to set world records.
It is not.
The Type R from the DC2, that was the most powerful 1.8-liter engine in the world, the B18C5. The Type R Civic we didn't get in the States with the B16B.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most powerful 1.6-liter engine in the world. And that's it. You know, that's tough.
There's a lot. That's why I wanted to do this, because there's a lot of good Hondas out there.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go with the EK Civic Type R.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I can't believe we came to the same conclusion on that.
With all the options.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's lightweight.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, you know...
The two-door hatch has always just been my favorite look for the Hondas.
And I personally do prefer the look of the EG hatch. I love those bullet-shaped door handles.
Yeah.
But the EK got the B16B.
Yeah.
From the factory.
Yeah, if they offered, like, that engine in the... EG hatch,
right?
EG hatch would win for me.
Yeah, because I do think that the EG hatch is the best looking hatchback Honda's ever made.
I think it's one of the best looking hatchbacks of all time.
That's a good argument. Yeah, because it's simple. I saw a bone stock EG hatch off of Hamden on my way here.
Really?
And I almost pulled over and made the guy an offer.
Because the people that have those these days, especially if they're clean, they know what they have.
This one was a little rough.
Okay.
It was doing a weird Alabama lean. It had the rear suspension lower than the front. It was sitting on stock wheels, and it looked like the back window had been replaced poorly.
Oh.
But you know what? It's an EG hatch.
Right.
I'm not buying that for super clean, you know.
Right.
I'm buying it because it's lightweight, and you can put any motor you could think of in that thing.
Yep.
That's hilarious we picked the same car.
Yep. EK Type R. That's just... I feel like... Ever since, you know, Gran Turismo, honestly, kind of won that one over for me.
Yeah.
I think it was a killer in that, and it just...
Well, I think of the duct tape death match in Initial D.
Yeah. Well, no, that was an EG.
Was that an EG?
Yeah.
It was the guys at the racing school that had the EK.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shingo's was a red EG hatch.
Yeah.
Now we're getting some weird anime nerd shit.
That's Initial D.
Yeah.
Our listeners know Initial D.
They damn well better. If you haven't watched Initial D yet, viewer... listener, you go do that right now.
Yeah.
Just that's your homework.
Take a shot every time you hear a chassis code.
Right? It's very true. Oh, man. So I want to hear from listeners. Contact @religionofspeed.com. What is your favorite Honda? Do you agree with me and Chris that the EK hatch or EK Type R is the one? Or is it the NSX? Or is it the Integra Type R?
Yeah.
Or S2000.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got so many choices. Or hell, yeah. Do you really like four-door Civics? You know? Or do you like the Civic Type R, the little minivan one? Which one was that?
Oh, yeah. The one from the early 2000s. That was the K-Series debut in America.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
That thing was a terrible Civic.
It was ugly.
Yeah, that I'll mark that down as worst Civic of all time. But hey, I'm sure it has its fans out there.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't like reaching down and you like reaching forward to shift gears,
right? That's the car for you.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right, that's gonna do it for us today. If you can go to our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/religionofspeed. There is a new video on there. I will be getting the Pikes Peak Adventure video up soon. I swear it's like 2 months late, but. You know, there was a ton of footage to go through. We had quite an adventure that weekend.
And then we've got grid light footage, too.
And we got grid light footage we need to go through. That was going to be kind of a short video. And tomorrow, everything permitting, I'm hoping to do a comparison video between a GTI and a BRZ. Your BRZ.
Yeah. Yeah. Sitting on Falcon RT660s, both cars.
Yep.
This will be my first time actually taking the car autocrossing with these new tires, so I'm really excited. Last time I took it out, it had bald rear summer tires.
Right.
So I was getting sideways constantly, which I don't really mind, but my lap times did suffer.
Yeah. So you're going to notice a huge difference with these tires. But if you want to see Chris's reaction to those new tires, my reaction to the difference between a Mark 7.5 GTI and a first-gen BRZ, we'll have that video up on the YouTube channel as well. So be sure to subscribe and hit that bell so that way you know when new videos get posted. Of course, follow us on Facebook and Instagram, religionofspeed.co. And I think that's all the social media stuff.
I think that's all. It's hard to keep up these days.
Right. I'm not doing TikTok or nothing, so at least not yet.
I'm about to say, we can do a TikTok for the impatient.
Right.
Speed.
Just make take the video and just shrink it down to 10 seconds. No, don't do any editing. Yeah. Just take the time and squish it.
Oh, just like a fast-forward video for 10 seconds?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bunch of squirrels talking about cars.
And then we set a popular music track behind it, and that's it.
Yeah, and suddenly we're famous.
Yep.
I don't know what this world is we're going
into. That's TikTok.
All right, everybody. I got to thank the band Wheels for the use of their theme song. You can find them at wheelstheband.bandcamp.com. I got to thank Chris, of course, for being here on a Friday night doing this podcast with me.
Hey, happy to be here, man.
Drinking seltzers.
Yeah.
And I gotta thank my girlfriend for making dinner right now, and that's what I'm about to go
that
eat.
That smells delicious.
Yes, BLTs. It's gonna be so awesome.
Oh, I smell bacon.
Yep. So, until next time, everybody, peace.